We're going to go to 1 Peter 3. We're reading in Peter for the last few weeks, and just the last few days I came to this section. And so while Aaron and I were off exploring, this is what I read every morning, and it really hit me. So I'm just going to walk us through it. 1 Peter 3. We're going to start on verse 8 to verse 12. I'm just going to share some of the things I feel like God's been highlighting in this for me, and then we'll see what else he wants to do. So I'm going to read through the whole thing. I really love the Passion Translation in this. So starting in verse 8, now this is the goal, to live in harmony with one another and demonstrate affectionate love, sympathy, and kindness toward other believers. Let humility describe who you are as you dearly love one another. Never retaliate when someone treats you wrongly, nor insult those who insult you, but instead, respond by speaking a blessing over them, because a blessing is what God promised to give you. For the scriptures tell us, whoever wants to embrace true life and find beauty in each day must stop speaking evil, hurtful words, and never deceive in what they say. Always turn from what is wrong and cultivate what is good. Eagerly pursue peace in every relationship, making it your prize. For the eyes of the Lord Yahweh rest upon the godly, and his heart responds to their prayers, but he turns his back on those who practice evil. The thing that stuck out to me when I was reading this that made me kind of stay here was the second part of verse 10. It says, whoever wants to embrace true life and find beauty in each day. And I was like, whoa, that's a really cool sentence right there. And then he goes on to talk about these are some of the things, and so I want to unpack some of that. But to find beauty in each day, that's what I want, right? I want to see the beauty in each day. And what are some of the things that we need to do to cultivate that? That, when he goes into that, is quoting from Psalms. I believe it was Psalms 34. Psalm 34. Part of that is what this section is from verse 10 to verse 12. And it's worded a little bit differently, the very beginning of it in Psalms. Peter changed it just a little bit at the beginning. But I want to just walk through some of these things that he talks about right before, some of the things for us to have. What's our goal? Just unpack some of the definitions, because I think that's really important. We can read these scriptures, and then they don't, sometimes the words are just bigger than I comprehend sometimes, and so we hear these words and they're thrown around a lot, but just to kind of unpack them. So I want to go by little. So in another translation, it talks about being like-minded, but that's how he interpreted it here, to live in harmony with one another and demonstrate affectionate love. In this love, they're talking about brotherly love, how we treat one another, right? And that place of living in harmony, that's hard, right? I mean, think about relationships. Relationships are so challenging, right? To live in harmony with ourselves, let alone living in harmony with other people, is challenging. And so how to be able to do that, to cultivate that, right? But that's our goal, to live in harmony with each other. And I think the part in Psalms is how to do that. So live in harmony with one another, demonstrate affectionate love, sympathy here, compassion, having a fellow feeling, so feeling with the other person, kindness towards other believers, and then let humility describe who you are as you dearly love one another. And this thing of humility, and we've talked about it here before, but this thing of humility is not just about thinking lowly of yourself. It's knowing who you are in light of who God is. So the more I understand who he is, then I know where my position is in relationship to God, right? And then out of that flows how I connect with other people. We need to know him. None of this stuff is possible. And I really, as we were worshiping, I wrote down, I believe that humility leads to praise. Because humility is knowing who he is and where I stand in that, right? It's not just knowing God. It's also knowing who I am in relationship to him. And I think it leads us to praise. Because praise is rejoicing and acknowledging who he is. Right? Like how amazing he is. Brian and Katie Torwalt, if you haven't heard their newest album, it's just a short 5-song album, and it's awesome. Aaron and I listened to it several times on the way home yesterday. And I've sung one of the songs here, but she has another one that she leads, Katie does, and it's about hallelujah. And the chorus goes like this: what can take away my hallelujah? No darkness can contain my hallelujah. Your cross has made the way for my hallelujah. Then she goes on, nothing can take my hallelujah. Shadows will fade, darkness will break. I'll keep on singing your praise. Like nothing can take away. And hallelujah is acknowledging and saying that God is worthy of praise. That's hallelujah. It's rejoicing in who he is. And I think humility is so necessary for that. Humility isn't just thinking lowly about ourselves. It's not just like, oh, what a wretched man I am. And there's some friends that I have, and they teach their children, you know, about that we have such a sinful heart, right? We have such a broken, evil heart. And he talks about that with his kids a lot, and I understand kind of where he's coming from. But if we're sticking in that place of our brokenness, and we're sticking in that focus of like how wretched I am, how lowly I am, how, you know, continuing to need to like almost beat ourselves up for the sin, if that makes sense, instead of sitting in this place of like, I know who I am in him, right? I'm free. I'm bigger than what I was born with. I've come far. Like we've come into a place of freedom. And so I think for us to step into that, humility leads us to praise, because it's like, okay, now I know who I am because I know who you are and where I stand. And it leads me to rejoice because he's amazing. Because of everything that he's done to bring us into the place that we are, right? To bring us into the freedom that he's allowed for us. So to be able to do that, never retaliate when someone treats you wrongly. That is so hard, right? And now it's so much easier on social media for people to retaliate, you know, and just like trash people and talk. And we see that all over the place. We see that in politics. We see it, you know, with friendships. We see that when somebody's not getting along with their spouse, people will like put things out there on you know, on Facebook, or somebody, you know, or they break up, and then what they're going to do is just talk trash on that person, right? Everything that was horrible about that person, right? And I think that place of embracing and seeing beauty, if all we are seeing about people and all we're living in is the brokenness and the hurt, we're not going to be able to see beauty, right? We're not really going to be able to see him clearly, and it's not going to lead us to praise. Then it goes on and says, respond by speaking a blessing over them. This blessing that's talking about is to speak well of, to speak which confers a benefit, encouraging someone, speaking good about them. Well, that is really hard when somebody has hurt you, right? To speak good about them, to find something good. But what does it force you to do? Force you to look for the good. Right? It forces you to look for the gold that's in people. It forces you to focus on the positive, which also helps us to see the beauty in life. I think about that in relationships, brother relationships, or your mother-son, or marriage relationships, or friends. I, in the past, if I am offended by someone, that's all I get to see. That's all I allow myself to see. And I fester on that, right? And I think about it, and I perseverate on it, and I think about it over and over again. And after a while, that becomes all-consuming, and I can't see anything else about that person. Instead of stepping back and saying, oh, wait a minute, there is more to this situation. There's more here. We're going to talk about Brene Brown and what she has to say and some of those things too, because she's awesome. And I just talk about her with everybody. So... Then goes on, because a blessing is what God promises to give you. That blessing is, sorry, hold on, I have it here, is a gift. God promises to give us a gift, right? And the gift is life, which he's already given us. It's life here, now. But I think in that also, he's giving us the ability to see beauty. He's blessing us with the ability then to see beyond just our circumstances, to see beyond the hurt and the pain that somebody else has inflicted upon us, be it a coworker, you know. And I'm not saying I'm good with this stuff. I'm just saying this section has stuck out because it's challenging me. So into the scripture that's from Psalms. So the scriptures tell us, whoever wants to embrace true life and find beauty in it. There was something else, sorry, I wanted to say before that. Oh, no. There's not. Just kidding. Okay. To embrace true life, the other way is to love life, to find pleasure in it. I don't know about you, but I want to find pleasure in life. Like, it was amazing, like, on our hikes and walking, like, over and over, each of us were seeing, like, the smallest thing, like, look at the purple there. We hiked up, there's this thing called Upheaval Dome, and it's this, yeah, it's not about vomiting, but it's this crater, and they don't know exactly how it's happened, but this salt has come out from the ground, and it has this green hue to it. So you go get to this crater, and then there's this dome that's formed in the crater, and they found out that it's like salt. And just sitting there, and it is massive. And they don't know. One of the things is maybe a meteor hit it and then pushed things up. Another is like everything else around it kind of pushed things down. I don't know how it happened. It just was really cool. And we're like, hopefully this hike is worth it. And I saw some pictures. We got up to it, and I was blown away. Like, seriously, I was just in awe. Another time we're walking by the road and there's all these cars and we look over and we go, do you see all these purple flowers? And I was like, look at all those purple flowers, right? I want to acknowledge and see the beauty. And that takes pausing. But if all I'm filling my head with is all the ways that everyone's hurt me or everything that's going wrong, my head only has a certain capacity to hold things, right? If I'm filling it up with one thing, I can't fill it up with something else. We have to choose what we're going to allow ourselves to see. And I think relationships are where we can become more tainted in the way that we see life. Because they're right in our face, right? Relationships that maybe, you know, are going well or something kind of happens wrong to kind of split that relationship off, or it's just, well, there's just tension in living, you know, with people. So whoever wants to embrace true life and find beauty in each day must stop speaking evil, hurtful words and never deceive in what they say. I know that in my life I have spoken hurtful words, right? And maybe not to a person, but to somebody else about them. Probably in the last couple of days I've done that, right? You know, so like, it's because that we have this thing of like venting, right? And so we just, you know, and that's okay. Like, we need a healthy place to talk about things. I'm not saying like it's not healthy to process, but I realize, like, what's our motivation in how we're talking about that person, right? And if we want to see beauty, if you want to find beauty in each day, stop speaking evil, hurtful words and never deceive in what you say. Always turn from what's wrong and cultivate what is good. It's springtime. It's time to start cultivating the new plants that are going to be growing in my garden, right? And a lot of people have already put them into seed and brought them to the place that I'm going to go buy them. I'm not cultivating all the way from seed. But my dad is, and so I sent him some seeds, and he's got some little peat things, and he's going to be cultivating these seeds, right? And it takes time. So, and cultivate what is good. Pour into it. Sow what is good, and you're going to reap what is good, right? And the same thing in, like, in giving in our lives. When we give generously with an open heart, it's amazing what comes back. It just is. Sometimes I'm like, I don't know where this money's coming from. Like, I'm able to save more, and I feel like I'm giving more. Have you ever been in that season where you're like, it should, like, and I don't feel like anything else is really, like, changed, but there's just more blessing there, right? Goes on and says, always turn from what is wrong and cultivate what is good. Eagerly pursue peace in every relationship, making it your prize. So, end of verse 11. Eagerly pursue peace in every relationship, making it your prize. So if you want to find beauty in each day, right? If you want to embrace true life, if you want to find pleasure in the life that you're living, eagerly pursue peace in every relationship, making it your prize. Another thing with the pursue, aggressively chase. Aggressively chase peace. And peace is wholeness. It's God's wholeness. So if you're pursuing peace in relationships, it's wholeness in that relationship instead of fractured, instead of broken, right? If you're pursuing peace in your own heart, it's being a whole person. I've been in this discovery of learning to be more whole. My thoughts and my heart don't always match up. How I'm feeling and how I'm thinking isn't always matching up. And I want to learn how to connect that. I want to be a whole person. Part of being a healthy whole person is taking these times where we can get away from everything. I wasn't checking social media. I was just getting away. We were looking at the beautiful things that were around us and just being, right? Throughout the, like, we didn't have all these philosophical conversations, you know, every once in a while over dinner. But like sometimes it was just like, it was just being, it was just acknowledging. It was just hiking. It was being a whole person. It was no, you know, like, oh, do we want to get up early? No, let's just kind of rest. You know, like we got our start at like 9 o'clock or whatever. Whatever it is for you that is taking care of yourself, that's pursuing peace. Because peace is God's wholeness. So you being a whole person and taking care of your whole self, your body, your soul, and your spirit is fostering wholeness, which is what God gives us. But if we're not taking care of one part of who we are, then peace can't be there. That's not God's fault. That's us not taking care of ourselves. And that is a challenge for me. So making it your prize. Because it says, for the eyes of Lord Yahweh rest upon the godly, and his heart responds to their prayers. For us to see beauty requires us to recognize the good in other people. It requires us to pursue peace in our relationships. It requires us to be able to look past our circumstances, right, and pursue wholeness. Even if things don't feel whole, in him we can still be whole, right? Even if things seem like they're falling apart, we can still be a whole person in him. Even if there's a car accident or there's things that happen or our health is not perfect, we can still find wholeness in him because that's his gift. So that thing of peace, we've talked about in the last little while setting values that we, and I'm hoping that for you guys, and we're going to, you know, be talking about those a little bit today. What are you doing to foster the values that you feel like are yours? Right? So some people in here, it's well-being, it's wholeheartedness, freedom, love, like different things. Like, what are your values? Are you living into those? And instead of beating yourself up, if you're not, what can you change to do that? Right? And relationships, I feel like, are some of the barriers. They are blessings, but can be the barriers for living into those values, depending on how we're interacting with the people and the conflicts that maybe are arising. So, I want to just walk through three R's that Brené Brown talks about, okay? I think that this is important for all of us as something I'm trying to learn. And if we are supposed to eagerly pursue peace in every relationship, we need to learn how to work through conflict. Because there's going to be conflict in every relationship. There's going to be some form of conflict, right? So she talks about three R's. Reckoning, rumbling, and revolution. And I'm going to go walk through those because I think for us, for me, I don't often know how to work through the things that are the conflict, right? In a way that's actually pursuing peace, not just dumping on the other person or attacking the other person or retaliating on the other person or just shutting up and not saying anything, right? So, who has had conflict in a relationship? Okay, right. So all of us, right? And some of it can be often. I was listening to NPR last night, and it's like some storytelling. And this guy was telling, you know, his story, and he was talking about his wife, and it was basically how they are now divorced. And he's the person that he's loved like the most his whole life, right? And he says, I have these photographs, and he's talking through the story, and he's making it humorous and stuff. But he's realizing at the end of it, they've gone to so many therapists, they've gone all this stuff, and there was no hope, and the only option was to end. And I was just thinking, like, how sad, right? I mean, he's like, and she's the one that I love the most. And so I'm just using this as a story. And so in this relationship, he's like, you know, like, she was there before, you know, when I graduated. She was there And he was taking all these like life, you know, moments. Like we bought our house together, like all these different things. But then he said, we argued and fought all the time, nonstop, about everything. We never saw eye to eye on anything, on healthcare, on how to raise the kids, on how to use our finances, on how to organize the spices. It was everything that they found to have a conflict over, right? And at the end, done, right? They'd been married for like 25, 30 years, right? And to be able to get to that place, and he's like, I wish that I had photographs of all those other times too. I don't know why you necessarily want that, but anyway. I think that there are things that people can do, and there's a lot of really crappy counselors out there and therapists, but I'm not saying, like, you have to do the work, right? In any relationship, you have to do the work to actually make it happen. And I think with Brené Brown's stuff of being vulnerable, that is the scariest place. Because I wasn't in this couple's relationship or anything, but that was the only option after all of that time. There wasn't something that was fostered to bring health and wholeness to each other, right? It was just the differences were way too many, right? So she talks about this reckoning that takes place when something feels off. You realize that there's a hook that gets you, right? Oftentimes when there's like this thing, we can either just like shove it away, like I don't want to deal with it, and then it kind of festers, right? Or we can explode, just kind of react, right? Instead of giving ourselves time to rumble with it, okay? So she talks about the reckoning. You just realize, you take stock, something's going on. I feel off, right? And then she talks about this thing called the rumbling. And this is where it's vulnerable, and it goes to having a conversation with somebody else. But in the beginning of it, it's you writing down what's happening with you. And I think we don't give ourselves space and time to actually feel. I'm just going to put that out there. Maybe some of you guys do. I don't often, you know, to actually feel what's going on and to put words to the emotions and the feelings that I have. Sometimes because it feels overwhelming and it feels like if I give it space, it's going to drown me. Has anybody ever felt that? You're like, if I give that emotion too much space, I'm not going to be able to get back from it. Right? So either that rage is going to take over, or that anger will take over and become rage, or that sadness that I feel will become depression or whatever, and then it's going to become too extreme and I can't get over it. But then we don't give a voice to these emotions. And so she talks about the rumbling is sitting down and writing out a story. And she calls it your shitty first draft. When you talk, when she talks to the kids about this, she changes it. I don't know what the other thing is, but she calls it Stormy, thank you. Stormy first draft. And she says, sit down and write out the story that you are making up about this situation. What's the story you're making up, right? And what does it feel like? What are your thoughts? What are the emotions? What's going on with your body? For me, when I'm realizing when I'm in an uncomfortable situation or I feel stressed, I get this right here, just in my sternum, just kind of vibrates. It's like adrenaline feeling. And I hate that feeling. And I'm starting to just like learn to like, okay, it's there. Let's be curious about that. Why is that happening right now, right? And being able to write out what you're feeling. Now, you may not be able to go to the person that the conflict is with, right? I mean, let's say somebody like attacks you, you know, you're feeling this emotion, now you got to go to them and talk about the story that you're in. That's not what this is about. This is about people that you actually have the ability to work peace out, right? And to foster peace. And so when you go to those people to talk, she says to begin with saying, the story that I am making up is this. And you tell them the story. This is what I'm making up, right? Now, part of it might be true. All of it might be true. None of it might be true. And it's vulnerable, but I think if we learn how to come to these conflicts in marriages, in friendships, and say like, hey, this is a story that I'm making up, it gives the person space to then talk. Maybe it is true. You're right. That is how I see it, which is a risk. It's like, oh, great. You really do hate me. but we get a chance to actually put something on the table, and it's vulnerable. I don't think anything good can come unless we are willing to be vulnerable. Right? You can't have peace with people unless you're willing to be vulnerable. And vulnerable is a risk because you're putting yourself out there, and you don't know the outcome. right? In anything. People have the ability to hurt us in so many different ways, right? We have the ability to hurt ourselves in so many ways. And sometimes the rumble might be you sitting down with yourself saying, this is a story that I'm making up about myself right now. Is this actually true? Right? And maybe it's not. And maybe you need to share the story you've written with somebody that you trust, that you can rumble with before you're going to the person that there's a conflict with, right? And you're like, hey, I just need to tell you, this is a story that the story I'm writing. And it doesn't have to be long. She's like, it can just be little things. But we actually give ourselves space to process. And when we write things out, clarity can happen. When we speak it out with somebody, like sometimes if I'm going to go talk with somebody, like I'll call my mom and I'm like, hey, this is kind of what's going on. And just processing it out loud gives me language for it. Then when we go to that person, we're rumbling, it's a risk. But then what can happen is a revolution. And that's where a change of mindset takes place. You're going to look at things differently. Because you might find out that person's like, no, I was just having a crappy day. Something happened at work. I took it out on you, but it wasn't geared towards you, right? It can be something simple like that, just as an example. And you're like, oh, okay. Then you're going to look at future situations in a different way. There's a revolution that happened. Your mindset was changed. But you wouldn't have known the whole story had you not brought your story to them. What's the story that you're making up? And it's scary. And I'm learning how to step into those situations that I don't want to, because I do want there to be peace. And there's another scripture, I can't remember what it is, but the best that you're able, pursue peace, right? Yeah. Yeah. The best you're able. It doesn't mean you can force somebody into a peaceful interaction with you. If somebody does not want to talk to you and they continue to yell at you and swear at you, you know, like, or whatever, it gets violent, like, you don't stay in that situation, right? Mm-hmm. But what heart are we bringing to relationships? And how are we fostering the space for them to be vulnerable and open and honest? If we want them to give us space to be vulnerable and open and honest as well, mm-hmm. right? It has to be something that we create. It has to be, really, I mean, mm-hmm. there are many cultures, right? In these relationships, in our homes, in our church families, in our larger families, how do we cultivate a safe place that people can be vulnerable enough to expose and lay out what's going on? And it's not easy. But that felt like in that scripture that I read, such a pivotal part in it. And then to say, if you want to see beauty in life, pursue that. And I really think, like, the books that are coming out, you know, Brené Brown and these other people that are writing these things, it is so critical for us. Because as a society, we don't know how to rumble, right? We know how to react. We know how to run away, right? We know how to fight, flee, or we just freeze. We're really good at that. I'm really good at that, right? But we don't know how to sit in the uncomfortable and rumble with it and actually get better because of that, right? We get a blessing with all of this when we pursue this love, this brotherly love, when we pursue humility and affection and sympathy, all of that. We get blessings from him. We get gifts because we get to see beauty. And all of that leads us to seeing him more clearly and leads us to praise. So in this, like, I'm challenged by this. As Rev leaders across the country, once a month we get together and we have a Zoom call. And on the Zoom call, we, you know, talk about different topics. And Tommy had asked me if I would talk about Brené Brown's book, you know, Dare to Lead. And so I pulled out some different things and I led them through what I led us through with our values. And I talked about what I just talked to you guys about, like with, you know, the reckoning, rumble, revolution. And we're going to come back to it there and discuss it more. And somebody started reading it. I don't know if you guys know Big Howdy, Troy. And he's like, this book sucks. he's like, it's just making me, like, there's so much in here that I need, but it's overwhelming, you know? But it is so good. And I think we need the tools because oftentimes we don't feel like we have a voice to speak up. We don't know that we have a voice and a way. We haven't been taught, right? I mean, we have conflict resolution stuff that I talk with, my students, but oftentimes as little kids, we're like, say you're sorry. You have forgiven them? You say you're sorry. Shake hands. It's like nothing really happened. We didn't actually get a chance to share what was going on in our hearts, to really have a space like this, what's feeling. And we don't give kids that space to actually talk about, like, oh, you're going to be fine. Just deal with it, right? Suck it up. Move on. Whatever these words. And as kids, we learn to kind of impede our emotions from being there. And instead of looking at that stuff as like bad and good, it's just what is. And I've been having these conversations with a lot of people because it's something that I'm trying to learn. It's just what is, right? What I feel right now is. Doesn't mean I'm going to stay there, but if I don't allow it to be and give it some space and to feel it, I'm not going to figure out what's actually happening here. It's just another thing that I shove down and I push away. Another thing I shove down and I push away. And then what happens is that stress can become anxiety, depression, rage, and all those things, and manifests itself in such unhealthy patterns, right? Mm-hmm. And if we can't talk about that stuff here, and we can't learn how to live healthy lives here, where are we going to do it, right? And going to a therapist, I'm not saying all therapists are bad. Therapists are great. There's some great things there. There's some not great things, out there. But if you realize in our culture, so many more people are saying, oh, yeah, I go see a therapist regularly. I feel like I've heard that more in the last 5 years than I ever have in my life, right? It's become a thing, which is awesome. Because people are getting a space and so hungry for a space to be heard and seen and have a voice. Awesome. But if we had the tools to do that with the people that are in our lives, a healthy space and a healthy way of working through things and having those tools to change our behavior, that may not be necessary. Right? It may be different. Or you learn the tools from that and you can actually do it in your life. So, like I said, I'm not saying anything negative about it. Therapists are awesome. I think sometimes we're looking at our lives in a specific way and we don't know how to change our perspective. And a lot of it in our lives, a lot of the roadblocks we come to are because of the way that we're looking at things, the perspective that we have, and being able to stop and change that perspective. But I want to learn in myself how to be more vulnerable, not just in what's going on with my life, but being able to be vulnerable with working out things with people. Brené Brown talks about trust, and trust is so vulnerable because you are putting your heart out there with the potential for someone to hurt you, right? And because so many of us have been hurt in different ways, we have walled off certain places, right? It doesn't mean we go down the street talking about all of the things that are going on in our lives. There are safe places and there are unsafe places. But if we can cultivate more of a culture where vulnerability is actually honored instead of looked upon as a weakness, right? These CEOs and these companies that have started to use the things that Brené Brown's talking about become a healthier place and actually become more productive and make more money. Mm-hmm. Families become healthier. And the longevity in relationships. So going back to that scripture, I want to read it again. And with those things in mind, what are some patterns in our lives, in your life, in the way that we live, that need to be changed? What are some things that we can start doing differently? We talked about this last time that I taught. Doing things differently so that we can actually have something different, right? So we can have those blessings. So I want to read it again. This is the goal: to live in harmony with one another and demonstrate affectionate love, sympathy, and kindness toward other believers. For you to focus and find the ways to be kind and be sympathetic and affectionate is going to force you to be positive, to bring the good into relationships. Let humility describe who you are. Let humility describe who you are as you dearly love one another. Humility is knowing who God is and who I am in light of that. So if I know that, I bring that into relationships, right? There's this place of, God, I need you. And that's okay. God, I need you so that I can make this work, right? I need you to help me. I can't do this alone. And I think that's what we bring as we love other people. We're saying, God, there's space for you because without you, I am nothing. Without the love that you've placed in me, I have nothing to give. Never retaliate when someone treats you wrongly, nor insult those who insult you, but instead respond by speaking a blessing over them, because a blessing is what God promised to give you. For the scriptures tell us, whoever wants to embrace true life and find beauty in each day, yes, please, must stop speaking evil, hurtful words and never deceive in what they say. Always turn from what is wrong and cultivate what is good, eagerly pursuing peace in every relationship, making it your prize. For the eyes of Lord Yahweh rest upon the godly, and his heart responds to their prayers. But he turns his back on those who practice evil. So, I want us to just spend some time checking in with ourselves. Just you and God. How has it been this last little while for you? Giving yourself space. Because at home, sometimes we don't give ourselves space. We're distracted by other things, right? And you do this. And maybe some of you guys have already cultivated that ability to do that, but I think just carving out some space. I'm just going to play just some instrumental music just to kind of make it so it's not this awkward silence. The silence is not a negative thing, but I know it's hard sometimes. And so just allowing some space and just checking in. What am I feeling? What's been going on with me? How am I doing? Is there a hook? Is there a reckoning? And how do I rumble with that? And this next week, if there's something that's there, writing down that shitty first draft. It can be a mess. It's supposed to be a mess. That's why it's shitty. Okay, anyway. So, giving yourself space. Where are you? What's going on right now with you, you know, and who you are? And so those in the interwebs, do this at home. We love you all.